Well, good morning to you all. Welcome to Only Baptist Church on Sunday, the 5th of July. Yes, it's July already. How long have we been under these pandemic conditions? It does seem forever. But you are more than welcome to our service this morning. And we do pray that as we look at God's word together, and as we pray together and sing together, that you will find that in your heart you're lifted up towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your relationship with him deepens as a result. So, here we are. And our call to worship this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, a variety of verses. And it's Jesus speaking. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. But some of you do not believe me. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God." So, let's give our meeting over to Jesus, our Saviour and our Father God this morning in prayer. So let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you today for all that you have done in our lives. You are faithful to us even when we are faithless to you. Your love pursues us even when we are unlovable. Your forgiveness covers our sin and frees us from its penalty whenever we turn back to you in repentance. We praise you for your loving kindness towards us. We confess that your presence in our lives changes everything. And as we hand over our wills to you, you empower us to live for you every moment of every day, content in knowing that you are in control. So as we face today and the coming week, we have very little idea of what awaits us. But as we come to you day by day, remind us that no matter what happens, we can praise your name because you seek the very best for us and plan to protect us and keep us safe during such difficult times. So we thank you, gracious Lord, for your care, patience, and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song this morning is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." If you have a Songs of Fellowship, it's 148. If you have the news sheet, the words are printed at the bottom of that. It's a great song of praise. And let's join in, if we can, with the singing and praise God for his guidance and his provision. So 148, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Whence the healing stream doth flow, Let the fiery cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and health destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Now it's time for our prayers of intercession together. So let us pray. Lord, we pray today for all those affected by coronavirus through illness, anxiety, or isolation, that they may find relief and recovery. For those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national policies, we pray that they may make wise and compassionate decisions. For doctors, nurses, and medical researchers, we pray that through their skills and insights, many people will be restored to health. For the vulnerable, the gravely ill, and the dying, we pray that they may know your comfort and your peace. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to your mercy and protection. And Lord, we pray for those under attack from the COVID-19 pandemic in other parts of the world. We pray today particularly for those in India, for the 100 million or so people who remain stranded, unable to return to their homes. We pray for marginalised Christian communities that face discrimination and harassment, despite themselves delivering aid to those in need. We pray particularly for protection, as they have been taunted, humiliated and detained by local police who've made false accusations against them under anti-conversion legislation. We pray too for those suffering from and fighting against COVID-19 in South America, now the centre of the pandemic. We pray for missionaries there and the local churches that they serve. We pray for continuing funds to buy relief supplies for those running out of food. We pray that you will help them all to demonstrate to those that they help the loving care that comes from you. And at this time, we pray for the 32 countries in that region currently involved in running Alpha courses. We pray that those seeking you at this crucial time will indeed find you. We pray too, Lord, for hurting families in nations that are torn apart by war and violence. We pray for your peace to rule the hearts of the people in Yemen, where 24 million people, 80% of the population, are in need of aid in the civil war. We pray for the children suffering from malnutrition, for those suffering from cholera, for those whose schools and hospitals have been damaged and closed. We pray that you will help World Vision in their attempt to rehabilitate water systems, to provide health care, food and protection. We ask you, Lord, also to strengthen the work of Tear Fund in Nigeria as they offer assistance to communities under attack from Boko Haram. We pray for the provision of food for their immediate needs and for the help being offered to enable them to rebuild their agricultural infrastructure. Help them, we pray, in working with the local churches to meet needs in the areas of water supply, sanitation, healthcare, education, and church life. And finally, we pray for those suffering enslavement in work camps in the brutal regime of North Korea. We pray for the church that it might persevere and multiply by reflecting the Lord Jesus and his compassion in the midst of horrific persecution. And we pray that your truth will reign so that the nation might be liberated from the lies and the indoctrination of the regime. Father, the needs of your people are great throughout the world in so many different ways. But we thank you that we can come to a God who can provide everything that's needed. And indeed, you have already planned things so that the best for everyone will take place. We thank you that we can rely on you, such a faithful God, in these difficult times. So help all those people we prayed for today. And help us, we pray, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to live for you day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, for your glory. All these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Jonathan will now lead us in our next song before we come to the Word of God, and that will be number 50 in Songs of Fellowship. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. So sing along if you want to, or just listen to this song. Break thou the bread of life. Now it's time for our reading, and today we're looking at John chapter 6, John's Gospel chapter 6, and we're starting at the first verse. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he said, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing's wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who'd eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him, and they saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we've been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. So for the past 2,000 years or so, people have really been intrigued by the claims of Jesus Christ. Many have published their thoughts during that time, a very mixed bag of surmisings. But it's absolutely crucial that we do investigate the claims of Jesus for ourselves, because they were so far-reaching and amazing that we would really be short-sighted and foolish not to do so. As we said in the introductory talk a few weeks ago, Jesus caused all sorts of reactions during his short ministry, which only lasted 3 years, and since then, the debate has not relented. John specifically wrote his gospel to help us come to a decision about who Jesus really was, and we're looking at the 7 signs and 7 I am sayings that Jesus performed and pronounced in order to help us. So far, we've looked at the miracle at Cana, when Jesus turned huge vats of water into wine, together with his teaching about being the true vine, which we can be grafted into and share the life of. We've looked at his distance healing miracle, when a government official's dying son was healed in Capernaum, 40 kilometres away, together with his teaching about being the way, the truth, and the life, the only pathway to God. And last week, we saw Jesus healing a paralysed man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem and teaching about him being the only gate into the sheepfold. Again, an exclusive claim. Today, we're tackling the longest chapter in the New Testament, John chapter 6, and following one of the best-known stories of Jesus, the only one of the 7 signs that appears in all 4 Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. There's been a lot of coverage locally of recent activity at the only beach resort by the Victorian Steps. There have been large crowds, barbecues, picnics, bathing. Bring your own food and leave your own rubbish. However, I'd like you to picture a much larger but somewhat better behaved crowd, perhaps the size of the festival crowd at Glastonbury. John tells us that this took place just before the Passover, the second one during Jesus' ministry, and Jerusalem was, as usual, packed with visitors, causing its normal population to expand from around 90,000 to up to 2 million. The disciples were back from their first ministry tour, we read about that in Mark 6 and Luke 9, which coincided with the unfortunate death of John the Baptist in Matthew 14. At the hands of Herod. So Jesus was seeking some peace and quiet to reflect and to spend some time debriefing his team. So he moved away from Jerusalem to near Bethsaida, northeast of the Sea of Galilee, just by what we today we call the Golan Heights. But a huge crowd that had seen many of his miracles in Jerusalem and elsewhere and wanted more of his time came looking for him there. So Jesus acted with compassion and sought to continue to help them. There was one big problem, though. It was getting late, and they had no food with them. So, try and imagine the scene. 5,000 men, plus women and children, perhaps up to 15,000 people or more, all with rumbling tummies. Jesus said, seemingly casually, to Philip in verse 5 of chapter 6, "Where can we buy bread from, Philip, for all these people?" You see, Philip, like Peter and Andrew, was a local from Bethsaida, so he knew all the food outlets and everything there that they might be able to pick some food up from. But he made a swift calculation. 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough. In verse 7 he says, not even just to provide a mouthful for everyone. Then Andrew appears on the scene, bringing with him a boy and his food. At least one person had had the foresight to bring something along. It was not a huge lunch pack, however. 5 small barley loaves, rather like scones, I suppose, and 2 dried bits of fish. What good's that, though? He adds in verse 8, when he speaks to Jesus. Of course, we have to remember that size doesn't matter to God. Think of the small pebble that David used against Goliath. Think of the short rod that Moses used. Jesus was completely unfazed because he knew already what he was going to do, we're told in verse 6. Everyone was asked to sit down on the grass, which, as it happens, and as Mark points out in chapter 6, verse 39, was green. You see, the Passover took place in April, and this was probably the only time of the year when it was green. It was very orderly. They were told to sit down in groups, Mark chapter 6, verse 40, of about 50 or 100. A major plan was taking place here. Jesus took the bread and fish that little boy had brought along. He gave thanks to God for it. That's the Greek word eucharistein, from which we get the word Eucharist, or Lord's Supper. So he gave thanks to God, broke them up, and kept giving them out to the disciples to distribute. I saw a rather amusing cartoon of some people lining up for this feeding. They had a set of questions to ask. The first one said, "Excuse me, but has that fish been tested for mercury?" The second one said, "Is that bread gluten-free?" And the third one said, "Oh, I can't eat that, I'm vegan." I can't imagine that this crowd, however, was nearly as fussy as that. Just imagine the scene. I wonder how long it took up to 15,000 people to be fed. 12 distributors, groups of 50 to 100 people. It reminds me a little bit of the old-fashioned math sums we used to have to do at school. If it takes 12 men 10 minutes to distribute bread and fish to 100 men, how long will it take them to distribute to 15,000 men, women and children? Well, I wonder what it was like to actually see. I imagine that only those nearby would have been able to glimpse the miracle of the food reproducing. Of course, it's not the first time something like this has happened in Scripture. There was the widow's oil in 2 Kings 4, verse 43, under Elisha's direction. All her large jars were filled from one little flask. And a little bit later, in the same chapter, over 100 people were fed from 20 small barley loaves. Again, with some left over. But in these quantities, nothing like this had ever happened before. 15,000 people. Well, for the disciples, it must have been hard work distributing
well, for hours on end, I suppose. And then the clearing up process afterwards, as the crowd left with full bellies. 12 basketfuls were left. Nothing was wasted, and so much more was left than when they'd started. What a sight. What a miracle. It must have been absolutely amazing. Something totally impossible for just anyone to do. Who then could do such a thing? Surely only God's Son himself, the one who was there at the original creation of the world with his Father, as John tells us in chapter 1, verse 3. So far, we have seen 4 signs. 2 miracles of healing, 2 miracles of creation. So then, we have to ask the question, who is this Jesus? Well, in chapter 4 of John, verse 26, he's already told the woman at the well that he's the Messiah, using God's own form of address for himself, in Greek, ego eimi, I am. John is merely confirming the truth of this claim by this series of signs. Certainly, the crowd are convinced he's at the very least the prophet they've been expecting, verse 14. But Jesus slips away from them, verse 15, since their picture of the Messiah as a powerful king who would force the Romans out of their land was not his idea at all. So how do you feel about this sign? This multiplication of bread and fish for 15,000 people? Are you curious? Are you sceptical? Are you full of questions? Are you convinced? To me, this miracle seems totally and utterly amazing. Something that could only be done and performed by God's true Son. So we now come on to what Jesus had to say as a follow-up. We come to Jesus' saying, his first chronologically, which comes hard on the heels of the sign that we've just been looking at. We read in John chapter 6 that the following day the crowd returns. First of all, they want to know how Jesus got to Capernaum, because they knew he wasn't in the boat with the disciples when they left the previous evening. So how did he get there? Well, we know, because John tells us. He walked across the lake to the boat, and then, miraculously, it arrived at the shore. Verse 21. But Jesus isn't interested in discussing this with the people, and he moves on directly to what it is thereafter. Verse 26 and 27. And it seems to be more physical food. A typical question and answer session now takes place in the synagogue at Capernaum between the Jews and this rabbi, verse 25. Jesus highlights that all they are really interested in is their stomachs, verse 26. They've completely missed the point of the miraculous sign, namely that Jesus alone can provide life that lasts forever, spiritual, not physical life. The people respond with a question, well, what can we do? Verse 28, to which Jesus replies in effect, well, nothing. Because only he can supply this bread of life. All they can do is put their trust in him as God's Son. But humans always seem to want to work things out for themselves, to be able to take the credit for sorting out life's problems. Just trusting someone and letting them do it for us isn't quite our thing. And so, amazingly, the day after they have seen him feed the 5,000 and enjoyed his wonderful miracle, they ask for, yes, you got it, a miraculous sign to prove that he is who he said he is. Verse 30. How about one just like the one Moses performed at the Exodus in the wilderness when the people were hungry? That would do, the feeding of them by the manna from heaven. Well, the first thing Jesus does in verse 32 is to correct them, because it wasn't Moses who produced the sign, it was God himself. And then he offers to them the true bread from heaven, who alone can give real life, namely himself. Verse 34, they then ask to have this given to them every day, to which Jesus replies with his famous saying, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He is the one who's come down from heaven to do his Father's will. It's believing in him that produces eternal life and begins a family relationship with God the Father and God the Son. So much more important than physical bread. This causes problems for the crowd, and they can't seem to get their heads around it. Don't we know his parents, Joseph and Mary, they say. There can't be anything so special about him, surely. Jesus repeats his claim in verse 55, to be the bread that has come down from heaven, and introduces also the idea of his flesh and blood, metaphorically, like in our communion service, being something that can feed us because of its healing power. Whoever feeds on Jesus by faith, he says, will receive forgiveness and eternal life. That's a promise. So why did he call himself the bread of life? Well, as we know, bread is a staple diet physically worldwide. It's a crucial part of most people's diet. The most of it's eaten in Iran and Turkey, believe it or not. About 130,000 tons, or $358 billion worth per annum. So, can you see what Jesus was driving at? Bread, physical bread, is something that we all need to keep us in health and to keep us fed. But there's something more important than physical bread. It's bread of life. Something that we can take in, consume, and it has a harvest in our lives of spiritual life that goes on forever. We seem to be so much fixated these days with the materialistic, but what is more important is the spiritual side of things. This dialogue with those in the synagogue has a dramatic effect on those listening. In verse 66, we read the majority of those who were his followers to begin with deserted him at this point. They just couldn't get their heads around his claims. They wanted to do something to achieve acceptance from God, verse 63. But the only thing required was their belief in Jesus, something they could not bring themselves to do. For them, the physical had more importance than the spiritual. So it's at this point that Jesus asks the 12 disciples whether they're going to desert him too, to which Peter replies, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. And today, the situation is still the same. If we look carefully at what Jesus did and delve into what he claimed, nothing has changed. The offer is still on the table. We can either reject it and miss out completely, or we can put our faith in him and be secure for eternity. At this time of uncertainty and anxiety, we have to ask the question, who is this Jesus? 15,000 people were fed from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unheard of. Unbelievable. What a miracle. But more than that, Jesus claims to be able to give us the food or the bread that we really need. Not physical, but spiritual. And longer lasting, because it goes on into eternity. So we have to ask the question, where do we stand today? Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that what he says is true, and that if we trust in him we can have life that goes on way beyond the grave? Or are we bound by our physical limitations and not be interested in the fact that he might be the Son of God himself? So my prayer today is that we may take stock that we may read this miracle again, read the discussion again that Jesus has with the Jews, and reanalyze our standing with God. Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God who he claimed to be? If so, we need to take action. We need to believe in him, trust in him, and see how God will change our lives. So it's time for our last hymn, and our last hymn is number 200 in Songs of Fellowship, "I Am the Bread of Life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and I will raise him up on the last day." So sing along with us now as we sing number 200, "I Am the Bread of Life." Close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you have supplied more than just
for our physical needs. You have supplied everything we need for our spiritual needs too. And we thank you that as we come face to face with your claims to be the Son of God, and we see what this means and what you can do for us and how you can help us and recover us to yourself, how we thank you that you are willing to cleanse us from our sin, to rebuild us, remake us, renew us, recreate us in your image, and help us to serve you day by day and make our lives rewarding and complete. So we do pray that today and during this coming week we may know the power of God in our lives to transform us into those people you want us to be. So despite the worries, despite the anxieties, despite the difficulties and problems of this time, Father, help us to know you in our hearts and to worship you in our lives. So bless us all now, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.